The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I think it's amazing to see how many lives we impact just playing basketball, you know, the happiness and joy of people who are just supporting us, you know. It's a really amazing sensation.
There's no statement win first game this season. I was proud of our guys for getting a win, protecting our home court. We did not do a good enough job last year protecting our home, so... But no, we're not going to make too much of this. We got to turn the page, learn from it, and get ready for Memphis and OKC on the road. We have a bullseye on our back, and we're going to get the best from everybody. So we can't think by beating the Lakers at home, like, so what? That's one game. We have to be even better come Friday in Memphis to try to go to 2-0, and that'll be a challenge in and of itself.
Again, it's going to be a day-by-day process. Gauging how he's feeling, getting communication from him, our training staff, our medical staff. Yeah, we communicate and collaborate and then to land on a solid plan. And again, it's easy with him. You get caught up in the emotion of the game and you tend to forget you want him playing these long stretches. But in order for him to be as effective as possible, we have to be mindful of the minute output and how long, you know, his stretches are.
I mean, I always want to be on the floor, especially when you got an opportunity to, you know, win a game or you feel like you can make an impact. But I guess there's a system in place and, you know, gotta follow it.
All right, some of the sounds, sights and sounds from last night. Liv Moods representing the Rocky Mountains, representing the Mountain Time Zone, representing the Denver Nuggets. I mean, look, you told us about the Denver Nuggets last year. You told us before they won the championship that they were going to win the championship. And so last night was your opportunity just to kind of exult, just to kind of just let it all sink in. The Nuggets at home, first game since winning the NBA title in 5 tidy games in June. Mm-hmm. First game at home, taking on the Lakers, the same team they swept in the Western Conference Finals to get to the NBA Finals in the first place. And Liv, I don't know about you. I do know about you. I do know about you. That's wrong. I was going to say, even watching that game, the Nuggets had control of it. So third quarter, they're up by their 11, their 13. Then the Lakers go on their 11-zip run, and they make it a game.
Yep.
Even at that point, I was like, you know what? They ain't got it. They ain't got it. They ain't going to beat them. They're not going to win this game. I was never at any point last night worried about the Los Angeles Lakers. We'll talk about them in a second. But I just felt like this was the night for the Nuggets. And it probably, Western Conference-wise, is probably the season again for the Nuggets. What'd you see? What'd you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I feel obviously great, but not naive in the fact that I know that it is only one game. Like Coach Malone said, he is going to get the best out of every team that plays this Nuggets team, because they saw what they did last season in the finals. They saw how dominant this Nuggets team was. The target, every win will just get bigger and bigger. So there's a long, long road ahead. I am not a naive fan in thinking that they've just got it after one game. But something that I really loved watching about this Nuggets team, I was there last night. So not only did I get to bask in the banner being lifted in the ring ceremony, which was just the coolest thing ever as a Nuggets fan who's never seen that before. What I saw from the game perspective is that they have not lost you know, everyone worries about that Super Bowl hangover, that championship hangover, and it really did not seem like they have any of that at all. They still have the chemistry. The teamwork is what makes this offense so unstoppable. And I think, again, we talk about Jokic a lot, and I think that the reason that we talk about Jokic a lot is not just from a talent perspective, but he's simply unguardable. There is no answer for Nikola Jokic. When he has a sloppy, crooked one-footer floater that looks like it's going to a completely different part of the gym and then it's an absolute bucket, there's no way you guard that. But I think more importantly than that, we saw a lot of new faces on the floor finding their rhythm, finding their groove. A moment that I don't think people could see on TV, but I saw from being there, and I'm so mad I didn't get it on camera. We had Najee. He had the ball. He was on the perimeter. There were a bunch of guys open. More importantly, Jamal Murray was open under the basket, and Najee's looking around trying to figure out what to do, and Jamal looks at him and goes, shoot it. And I loved that moment because I feel like there is such a level of again, teamwork that this team has. And I think what we saw with this Nuggets team offensively is that at one point or another, you had either Jamal Murray or you had Nikola Jokic on the floor. And there was some on the floor coaching going on. And I think that is obviously going to be a very lethal thing for this Nuggets to use all season long, is that depth matters. And we talk about this with every team. We talk about it being an issue with the Suns down the road in the playoffs. But the depth, I think, is something that you start establishing now. So to watch Jamal Murray look at a guy that's not getting many minutes, didn't make a huge impact last season, saying, shoot it, find your shot. Like, this is your moment. Don't pass it to me. Yeah, I can make it. I'm right here. It's wide open. But find your shot. I really appreciated that. And again, we're seeing some really great moments from this Nuggets team. MPJ, his threes aren't landing. I just don't think that's his game anymore. Defensively, he was getting boards. He was showing aggression on a different side of the floor than what we're used to with him. So everybody has a role. They all did their job. And it was exciting to see, because again, I don't think that last year was a one-time thing for this Nuggets team. I think they're building on a very newfound dynasty, which as a Nuggets fan, you gotta love to see.
And most of them aren't. I mean, we've had some one-time champions lately where they don't become championship hoarders. In the NBA, right. A lot of these teams, they win one. Okay, we're going to win at least a couple, or two or three. And so, you know, Toronto won one, but then Kawhi left. So that's not really a fair comparison. Then Milwaukee won it in 2021. They haven't been back since. But there are some teams, you know, there are tons of them. The Warriors, the latest example. Where they win one, take a year off, and they're going to come back and they're going to win a couple more, and they're just going to be in that championship conversation. There's no reason for the Nuggets not to be in the championship conversation again when your best players, your best two players, are both in their prime. So, these are, you're not talking about a 32-year-old Jokic and a 30-year-old
right, and together,
and a 30-year-old Murray, right? They've been around for a while, and I like what you said about depth too. Now, yes, depth matters. It's not that you got to be all that deep. You can have some shallow depth, and that will get you by. But you got to have somebody or a couple guys. Like some teams are 10 deep. Sometimes that's too much. That causes problems. Mm-hmm. Those teams usually don't have great chemistry when they're 10 deep, because everybody feels like, well, listen, I'm a ninth guy. Yeah. I can play. You know, man, and you want to tell everybody who comes to the game, don't think just because I'm sitting here on the bench, I ain't got game. You know, I could be out there, but coach is tripping or whatever. So you don't necessarily have to be 10 deep. Eight is good enough. Sometimes seven really reliable players is good enough. And Denver can attest, every championship team that I've studied, they always have a guy. They always have a guy who comes through and unexpectedly wins the game for you. Something like, ooh, where did he come from? You know, last year it was Braun in the early games against Miami. I think it was game one against Miami?
Yeah, right, and obviously Bruce Brown was huge for the Nuggets last season. We lost him.
And he's Bruce Brown in the clincher.
But, yeah, Christian Brown, you've also got I'm excited to see what Peyton Watson does. I think he's Bruce Brown, but a little bit more physical, a little bit more size there. But I think to your point, the depth, not only does the depth matter, but I think every guy on this Nuggets team knows that they play a role. I mean, you had Bruce Brown as the sixth man, essentially, and he was probably more crucial. He was more crucial than an MPJ who was a starter. So I think even the bench guys know, when it's my time, I have a job to do. I'm not just out here because they need to rest Jokic. No, I'm out here for a purpose. And I think that makes a huge difference. And honestly, KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I mean, yeah. He was a baller last night. So every guy on this team serves a purpose, and I think that's what makes this team so dangerous. We talk about chemistry matters. I mean, we see teams all the time that on paper, Bills Mafia, look really great, but if you don't have that chemistry, if you're not making it click, it doesn't matter. See, you can't. There's only so much you can do with talent if you don't have chemistry. Holly, listen, you know this.
She's starting early. Like, we're going to get to the Bills. Like, you can't. I mean, we're 9 minutes in. We're 9 minutes in. And she's like, okay, yeah. Just want to let you. That's a tease.
Sorry.
Hey, Western New York, that's a tease. As she said, I'm coming for your necks.
I am totally coming for your necks.
My favorite is one of my favorite posts of the year, 2023. Every year, Liv, I go back and think about all the things that I did, all the things I saw. And, you know, sometimes it's a one-liner. Hey, I saw this movie. It was great. I heard this sermon. It was amazing. Or, you know, I saw this musician, this concert. Like, I went to this restaurant. It's like a year in, just things I experienced, things that I'm grateful for, things that moved me. And you're going to make my list. I saw this post. Bills Mafia, I'm coming for your next.
I'm coming for your next, man. I'm sorry. They had it coming, though. They knew when that game. I'm sure that there was a lot of members of Bills Mafia that were watching that game against the Patriots, and they were like, man, a loss would really suck, but a loss will really suck if I go on Twitter and go to Liv Mood's page right now.
No. They never got there. They never thought a loss would suck. They never thought a loss would suck because they didn't think they would lose. But we'll get to them. We'll get to them later. I'll say this about Denver. One, championship ring. Nice ring. Now, I like the little draw out element. You just pull it out.
Yeah.
Then put it back in there with the banner. It's great. Now, it's not quite the Las Vegas Knights ring, which is the best ring. I'm going to put that on my list, too. The best ring I've seen in 2023, the NHL's Las Vegas Knights, Golden Knights. Where on their ring, now this is dope for Denver. That's a good looking ring.
Beautiful.
Just color scheme. Beautiful. It's gorgeous. But the Las Vegas Knights, you can take off the top of the ring and you can see the arena.
It's like the
arena. And there's a pendant because a lot of people are very self-conscious. You can imagine, Liv, you're very self-conscious. You're just walking around Denver. On a Wednesday, and you just got this ring out there, you're like, okay, that's a little much. That's a little much for a Wednesday in Denver in October. So they have a part where you can make a pendant. It can just be a pendant instead of, you know. So it's very classy. It's thoughtful, forward-thinking. So not only is their ring great, their team is great. I'm going to tell you why they're a tough matchup. Now, it's not impossible. Every problem has a solution in sports. I really believe that. Just it's a solution. You may not have everything it takes to solve it, but there is a solution for it. The problem with the Denver Nuggets that I see, tell me if I'm wrong on this. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, Jokic is the best passing big man of all time. Well, of course he is. I mean, of course he is. I've seen the candidates. I was a little young, but I remember seeing, you know, Bill Walton toward the end. He had bad feet then. He had bad feet at the end. So I remember Bill Walton on again, off again, practicing with the Clippers and then with the Celtics. I remember that. Good passing big man. Kareem could pass. Kareem, great passing big man. My guy Moses Malone, I don't think he could spell pass because he got the ball in. He wasn't getting it back, okay? you give it to Moses, he just going up. So maybe he could pass. I don't know. He never did it. Not only is Jokic the best passing big man, the difference is, this is why it's so tough. It's imagine your passing big man with point guard skills, not point guard vision, but point guard skills. In other words, those dudes couldn't dribble too, Liv. He's got a handle. Okay, yeah, so he's got so a handle. Good. He's got a handle.
Yep.
He can shoot threes.
Yep.
He can board. He doesn't make obvious passes. He can make the obvious pass, but he also makes the pass that the point guards do where you go, oh, damn, I didn't see that. Oh, what anticipation. That's what point guards do. So he's a point guard. So you can't really stop him anywhere on the floor.
You can't.
He's got vision
he's
all over the floor, and he's got size.
Unguardable. Yes.
So now you got two of those guys. You got a 6'3", 6'4", point guard, whatever Murray is, 6'5". And you got a 7-footer. Both with point guard skills. One of them big and one of them average NBA size. I mean,
I have to laugh when people, anyone that tries to argue that Jokic is not the best player in the league, I have to laugh in your face. And it will probably be the most disrespectful laughter you've ever heard spewed into your personal bubble. But I cannot wrap my head around anyone that doesn't think he's the best.
What'd you say? Disrespectful laughing and all kinds of stuff. Disrespect. Hey, you know what, Gary? Let's bring it out. It was a vibe. It was a vibe last night in Denver. Let's get to some of the more sights and sounds from Denver last night. Live Moods right in the middle of all of it.
Always. How long have you been a Lakers fan?
My whole life. It's probably about since I was like 8, so maybe 15.
So you're kind of a cocky guy. You struggle being humble.
I mean,
call it what it is.
All right, sure, okay. I'll agree with that.
However, you were super humbled, I imagine, when the Nuggets swept the Lakers. Chef's kiss. How did that feel? Give me your raw, genuine emotion. And you can curse into this microphone if you need to.
Yeah. I'll try to keep it PG, but okay. Let's... after all the dominance we've had in the NBA, we figured, give the Nuggets a little bit something for their history,
Okay.
Be a little bit respectful, give them one championship. And we're going to come in tonight, maybe give you guys maybe a little bit early on, make it a close game and then probably be a blowout, sometimes.
Okay, well, you heard the delusion here first outside of Ball Arena.
So first of all, we got the "Who's Your Daddy" chant. Then you got the interview with the Lakers fan, who says, "Hey, this is before the game. He just kind of dropped the score in there, Nuggets by 12, and maybe the seventh time will be the charm for the Lakers. They've lost 6 straight to the Nuggets. So they don't. Can I say, Liv? Yeah, they have lost their minds. I agree with you, and I also think." We got it. Can we take the Lakers? I'm already doing it. Okay, I'm going to do it. Game 1 of 82. Take them out of the conversation. Take them out of the championship conversation. I'm not bringing them back in for the rest of 2023. Maybe you'll check in around the All-Star break to see how they're doing. On the first night of the season, Anthony Davis already, dude, we heard you. We heard you tell James Worthy, hey, me and Bron was talking, we got something for him,
We had some conversations. Did those conversations include a scoreless second half, my boy? What's going on around here?
0 points. I'm done. We have a lot of people live. Who listen to Brother from Another and watch Brother from Another, listen on Sirius XM Channel 85, watching on Peacock TV, YouTube, however you consume it. We appreciate that. You appreciate you. You know that. But they do a number of things. We have some psychologists out there. We have some psychiatrists. That's where Anthony Davis, I'm going to let them figure out, get into the psychoanalysis of why a guy
what's going on?
So tall, so skilled, so talented, is so inconsistent. But that's for them, because I'm talking about contenders, and I don't have to say that about contenders. I don't know what Dame and Giannis are going to do in Milwaukee, but I know they don't have to worry about the buy-in and the effort and the consistency and the high-level play. I don't know what the Celtics are going to do. I don't have to worry about that. I don't know if the Nuggets are going to repeat. I don't have to worry about that. Phoenix, I might have to worry about that a little bit, but I don't have to worry about that with Phoenix either. The Lakers.
LeBron, it's inexcusable.
LeBron has tried to say, he's like the father who said, he started off a few years ago, kid was 16 or 17, said, one day, son, this car will be yours. One day. That was a few years ago. And the kid turns 18, he's like, son, I want you to take the car. Okay. Now he's saying, damn it, you own the car. I want to be a passenger. I want to sleep on the road trip for 3 hours. I'll drive a little bit, but it's your car.
I don't mean to call LeBron an old man here, but if he is your best and most consistent player, we've got a problem here. I mean, Anthony Davis is inexcusable. And you know what? I was laughing like pretty much hysterically last night, sitting in the stands, getting onto Twitter or X, whatever it's called now, and looking at people, Lakers fans, complaining about the calls that the Nuggets were getting in favor of the whistle. Okay. I have to laugh in your face here, Lakers fans. How does it feel to be on the other side? Finally. I mean, you know how many calls, if we went down the history books of all the calls that were like, I think what we have with the Lakers fans is trying to find any excuse or reason to excuse the game that is being played and the fact that they're losing. Let's start looking at your star player. Let's start looking at Anthony Davis scoring 0 points in the second half of the game.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, let's start looking at what really the big problem is. The refs are not the reason that the game was lost, not even close. I mean, Anthony Davis has some work to do. And last season, we saw him play 56 games, but the two seasons before that, it was 40, it was 36. Who's to say we get another, I mean, I hope we do, but who's to say we get another healthy season by Anthony Davis, and he's already not showing up? Oh my God, please. I can't.
Look at this here. Anthony Davis finding out there are two halves in a basketball game. Whoa, what? What? They told me this. All right, look. Liv, congratulations. I'm glad to see the Denver Nuggets. Thank you. Win the organization's first championship. I'm telling you, I got no issues with the Nuggets. I got no issues with them. There's not a player on their team that I don't like. I like the head coach. I like the star players. I like the city of Denver. I guess my only quibble with Denver is, like, why is the airport, like, 3 hours away from the city? But other than that, I mean, I guess you had to do it that way.
And I guess it's got like a lot of Illuminati, like, conspiracy things going on with the Denver airport. And I've lived here my whole life, but if you look it up, apparently the Denver airport can be a little scary. I don't know. I just get there. I get in and I get out. That's how I operate at the Denver airport. That's how everyone should operate at the airport. But I digress.
Shout out to the Nuggets. Denver Nuggets. NBA champs. Banner. Put the banner up. Put the banner up in the mountains.
Every Stearns & Foster mattress is handcrafted with the finest materials for irresistible comfort every single night. Now, save up to $800 on select adjustable mattress sets only at stearnsandfoster.com. Lesser savings may apply.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
It takes kind of like focus away from that. Like, I don't have to think about that. I don't need the media talks to be about my contract and if I'm going to stay, if I'm going to leave, because I knew in my heart that I wanted to stay. I don't want, you know, people, when we lose a game, to, you know, come back and say, oh, Giannis is being, you know, irritated. He doesn't like what's going on. This is that. He's going to leave, blah, blah, blah. No, the conversation right now is going to be straight basketball. But for sure, now I'm here. I'm excited for what the future holds. I'm excited I can be here until, what you said, 2026, 27? 26, 27. It was the first time in my NBA career that I didn't know the number of my contract. I just signed it because I wanted to be here.
Well,
he's such a likable guy. You don't believe that?
I know, but I don't. He didn't know the number on the contract? He didn't know the number. Okay, look, this is good. He is. I mean, we all think he's a great guy. We all love Giannis. Not like, that's when you say, all right, take two. Now you went too far. Now you, when you're practicing that, hey, this is what I'm going to say to the media.
Reel it in.
No, you don't. Just dial that back. Now we're getting into Russell Wilson territory.
Oh,
I had to throw
that. Oh, God. Don't bring him up. I was having a good day. What's wrong with you? Come on now.
Hey, Jeff Johnson is here. What's up, Jeff? And tell me, man, how do you feel about what's coming tomorrow? We've got the debut of Giannis and Dame. You got Giannis with a new contract. And potentially the Sixers might have James Harden. No, they won't. The Sixers have the reigning MVP in Joel Embiid. So now, what do you expect to see from this Giannis Dame collaboration? Because I think it might be special.
Yeah. Well, first off, you said you heard him say he doesn't know the number. I think he was talking about the years. It ain't about the money. I read Miron Fader's book on Giannis. I know where he came from, selling street vendoring with his mom and his brothers at 6 years old, ribs touching type of hunger. I know we all can empathize with that from different walks of life. So he knows what the money is about. He probably didn't know the number of years. That's why he asked. So I'll shoot him some bail. Yeah, yeah, I'll shoot him some bail on that. But yeah, man, they calling it freak time in Milwaukee and I'm excited to see this because Giannis said this is the most open he's ever been in his life. And I think this is gonna be a time where both of them are gonna have the most daylight they've ever seen. The gravitational pull they already have singularly. I've seen whole teams collapse on Giannis where the three-point shooters have to pick it up and knock down those shots for them to be successful. Now you add Dame to that. Dame who steps into the gym and that's where his range starts. That pull, those pick and rolls is going to be something unlike we've ever seen in this league. And the one thing that I'm interested in, regular season, I love the regular season. I'm pro regular season, but the playoffs where someone like Dame, we talk about the three-point shooting, but he averaged almost 4 free throws more than Drew Holiday in his career. So he gets to the charity stripe. He increased that average in the playoffs. And on top of that, the fear factor that he's putting into teams, especially in the playoffs, where one shot Logo Lillard can knock you out of the playoffs. Look, man, it's going to be like Nightmare on Elk Street in Milwaukee when it comes to Dame and Giannis.
That should be a t-shirt.
I do not empathize defenses facing those two.
Okay, you're talking take, about Liv. Defense. I do. Let's I have a little bit take. Of a hot take, Jeff, and I would love to hear your thoughts on it. You mentioned Drew Holiday, which I think is definitely a loss to this Bucks defense, and I think anyone that doesn't think so is a little bit naive right now. And I do think with the Bucks, there's a little bit of concern for me in terms of winning a championship this season, just with all the changes. Because it's not just a Dame and Giannis chemistry that has to form, but it's also a new coach. Drew Holiday's out. Chris Middleton tends to be injured. So a lot of changes with high expectations. They can do it, but it may take a minute. My take, and I'd love to know your thoughts on it, is Giannis for Defensive Player of the Year. I really like this as we enter the season because of Drew Holiday not being there. I think that Giannis almost has to step into that role and prioritize the defense even more than we've seen in the past. We know he can win this award. I really think Giannis for Defensive Player of the Year is kind of a sneaky bet that I'm willing to take. And I don't know how you feel about that, if you have thoughts, but I'm leaning Giannis for Defensive Player of the Year. And of course, more success with the Bucks, but I like that award specifically for him.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much that might be like your mileage may vary on how hot sauce affects you due to demographics, age, and other factors. And what's hot for others may be mild for me. This one
yes,
is pretty mild.
Totally.
Because for one, okay, you have the narrative play, right? Everyone is saying Dame can't play defense like that. 117.2 defensive rating. You know, Drew was an anchor on that defensive end on the perimeter. And he also has Brook Lopez with him. They're like the Twin Towers. Nobody's going to want to go in the paint against the Bucks. And Giannis prides himself, since a kid, pride himself on being a defensive player. And I know he's gotten close before. I think that it's all set up. And you want to talk about odds? I think he's like 600 or plus 800 on the books right now. That is more than a sprinkle. You could take a little shower on that. Oh, I would love to do that. Like, now you put that in my head. Yeah.
All right.
Giannis
I like
defensive
it.
Player. I like it.
I like it.
Now I'm so close to it. I'm looking forward to it tomorrow. Milwaukee, Philadelphia. I really am. But tonight, it's an East Coast matchup. We've got New York and Boston. separated by 200 miles, ancient rivals, going back to 1946, beginning of the NBA. Love it. Celtics, Knicks, the whole thing. And I think the Celtics are right there. I think they're right there. But I want to know what you all think compared to Milwaukee. Jeff, now you're going a little, the hyperbole is in full effect today when you said, like, this Dame-Giannis combo could create situations we've never seen before in the history of basketball. Just want to point out, league is 77 years old now. Jeff is 77 years old. We've seen some things. I wonder how you think the Celtics match up with the Bucks.
Well, I don't know. I know Havlicek and Mikan might have been getting crazy back in the day. That's before my time. I think it might be.
I'm not going all the way back there. Okay, how about 30 years ago? How about 30
Holly,
years ago?
You're showing your age, Holly. Oh, yeah. You're showing your age.
I didn't see Mikan, but much respect to Havlicek, Mikan, Kuzi. All of them.
For sure, for sure. But it's the NBA season, Mike. I got to get
I'm talking about the three-point line, though. Three-point line, though. Let's say the three-point era. 1980-ish to the present. There have been some pretty good combos now, Jeff. Come on.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. But when you talk about singular ability, superstar play, the range, because the range has increased over those past 30 years. Efficiency, we could have a conversation as well. But I do think it's going to be, at the very least, something entertaining that we could watch. When you put up Boston against Milwaukee, it's really a pick-your-poison kind of matchup. Boston is going to be letting it fly from the three-point range. Shout out to my guy, Jonathan Macri. 33-1 last season when they shoot 39.5% from three-point range. And Holly, you know, they ain't shy. They ain't shy, brother. Everybody's putting it up. And then you put Porzingis on there too. They haven't seen a three-point shot they haven't liked, right? And then Drew Holiday shows up. You got a upgrade from Marcus Smart offensively with the same and including arguably better defensive tenacity on the perimeter. Their six is a solid six, probably up there with the best in the league. The depth is where we're going to have an issue. I do think it's going to be the others who determine who wins between Milwaukee and Boston. Is Derek White going to take a leap? What is Crowder going to do? Middleton, what are they going to do in this office? Is Brooke Lopez, does he find another level? Who are the young guys for Milwaukee? Who is going to step up and be able to be the difference makers? Because the stars are going to come out to play. It's going to have to be the supporting cast that makes the difference. And they each have weaknesses that the others can counter. It has seven-game series written all over it, and it's going to be exciting. I think preseason-wise, they are the clear, putative top two teams in the league.
What do you think, Liv?
I mean, in the conference, sorry.
I was going to say, woo! P-Bot made me
fall. Yeah, I was wild. I'm sorry. That was no. Crazy, but I meant the conference, sorry.
No, honestly, you're nailing it. I mean, there's a lot of talent there, and I think at the end of the day, the talent that we're going to see from, I could tell you right now, outside of the Nuggets, three teams that I feel very confident about in the regular season, Bucks, Celtics, Suns. Those are three teams right now that I think are really, and the Nuggets, are going to look really great in the regular season. But what we see in the playoffs is that depth really does matter. And I think, Jeff, you nailed it in terms of it's going to be the guys that we're not talking about that matter the most in the playoff situation. So to me, I mean, thank you, Vegas, for giving me the Nuggets at +550 because one, disrespectful as all, you know, whatever, but I'll take it because +450 for a championship core that stayed together. Yeah, you better give me that for sure. I'm taking
that. I think what's going to happen, Liv, you know, as a Nuggets fan, the Nuggets will be back in the finals. I'd like to show you around Boston because you're going to be in Boston. You'll be in Boston for the NBA Finals. You'll not be in Milwaukee. So it's going to be Denver and Boston for the championship. Jeff, come on down. It's so close by.
New York to Amtrak, Boston. One Amtrak away or flying if you got
there
it like
is.
That.
There it is. There it is. Now, you mentioned Liv, the Suns. You have some trust in the Suns. I like what they did last night without Bradley Beal. Devin Booker showed me something, and I think on the broadcast, and one of the broadcasters said this at the end of the game, hey, who says this team doesn't have a point guard? The point guard is Devin Booker, because Devin Booker was dishing last night in some critical moments. They came up with big hoop after big hoop. They didn't have Beal. The Warriors didn't have Draymond Green. It looked like the Warriors are going to take advantage of the game or take over the game. They lost the lead and they lose the game. First of all, let's hear from the Suns post game, and then I want to get you guys' take on who you think the Phoenix Suns can ultimately be.
You know, we have the depth, we have the talent all the way around, and, you know, just using that. You know, I had it going in the first half, and we knew that they're going to throw some different type of defense at us, and, you know, they did that down the stretch. You know, this was a good win for us. You know, I think, you know, a test like that the first game, how we can see the energy sway and, you know, the game go back and forth and then tighten it up down the stretch to get a win, it was big for us.
A lot of good moments in the video. You was able to relive some of those memories real quick. But it was good to come in here and get the season started off right with a W.
You're at the free throw line and the crowd is chanting CP3. Was that a surreal moment?
Yeah, it was. Dario looked at me and started laughing, and I couldn't help but laugh. That was a first.
You close basically with Kuminga over Wiggins.
I thought both Kuminga and GP were defending at a high level, and obviously you got to guard, you know, Kevin and Book out there, and so it felt like those guys were defending well, and so we went with them. And that's, you know, that's how it's going to be a lot of nights this year. It's like whoever's playing the best will finish the game.
Fair point.
Wow. And before I get to your take, I mean, it's pretty clear. You went with Kuminga over Wiggins. Well, those guys were defending. And what's unsaid there is, and he wasn't. And so we went with the guys who were defending and Wiggins wasn't. What did you see last night, Jeff and Liv? Suns, Warriors. I like both teams. What did you see?
Take it away, Jeff.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I was about to say, look, we're going to play double dutch until somebody go. The Suns were able to get production from folks who had the question marks on them from the season. Depth has been one of the main narratives around the Suns. You had Okogie and Nurk shooting 75%+ true shooting from the field. Yeah, it was 8 and 9 field goals respectively. But if they're going to hit these shots efficiently, Nurk grabbing 14 boards, 14 rebounds. This is probably the least pressure Nurkic has had in his career playing. All he has to do is go out there and do his job. If they do their job correctly, the Suns, the sky is the limit for the Suns. And look, their bench might be a little sparse. Grayson Allen was out there doing HIIT training, high intensity interval training. He wasn't really doing too much, which I was a little shocked about. But coming off the bench, he'll be more compartmentalizing the role. And when you have Eric Gordon, you will not have to worry about anyone being timid about shooting off the bench. This brother was letting it fly. And he was also one of the people in the fourth that was hitting clutch shots. I think the narrative for the West this season, West versus East, the West is stronger now. We had it. We had them for a few years, Holly. We had the East back for a few years, but we had a few defectors, and now the balance has kind of shifted. It's like the uncles versus the nephews in the East. Are the uncles going to be able to stay healthy enough to make it to the finals and be in a close to 100% to be able to take on the nephews? A lot of these top teams, Suns, Lakers, Warriors, can they remain healthy? If the Suns can remain healthy, I think they can go. They could at the very least challenge for the Western Conference Finals Championship. And they did all of this without Bradley Beal. I think we saw a good distribution. I'm eager to see how Beal fits in. Because if he can fit in and slot in as number three, I think this can be, he could be the most effortless PRA, points, rebound, assist lock that we have in the NBA this season, because all he has to do is go out there and hoop. And he was doing that already in Washington. Let him do that with the Suns, where he's going to have probably the third best defender. It gets real scary. If healthy, asterisk if healthy, the Suns can go super far.
I don't disagree, but I'll tell you right now. I gotta flame them really quick. Whoever set up the tripod and said, ready, get set, pick up a weight. Kevin, you're going to do some squats. You're going to bounce on that big bouncy ball. you're going to grab a resistance band. We're going to do this for 15 seconds and then you can go to the locker room. Shame on you. But first of all, now this video is out in the universe and we're now going, the Suns hitting that, getting that work after that win. Please, they did not sit there and do a full body workout after they played that game. That was set up for a social media hit. And I seriously was almost in tears looking at it. Like, who planned this? Why did you plan this? And more importantly, what made you watch that video and go, this is perfect, posted? Like, I'm sorry, I can't. The Suns, I can't with that. You got to quit doing all that.
Social be on it.
Oh my God, man. They just be going crazy. And honestly, I think that is something about the Suns that I struggle with. Not their social media, but I think that they are really flashy and they look really good on paper and they have really great moments and they go a really long stretch in the regular season where they're, I mean, come on. Come on. What are we doing?
Oh, wow.
What
okay.
are we doing here?
Oh,
I mean, come on.
135
now.
on the squat rack is that's kind of light. I would expect KD need to put on another plate. He need to put on another
plate. You know for a fact, once he finished those releves for his calves, they hung it up and they walked right back to the locker room. They didn't sit there and do a workout. Are you kidding?
This if you turn it around, I see Ron Burgundy, Anchorman, 104, 105.
That's crazy. But I think the problem with the Suns is,
come on,
they are flashy. They do look good on paper. I compared them to the Bills a little bit, where you look at them on paper and
Yeah.
I did. I'm sorry. But when we started the NFL season, did we or did we not look at this Bills roster and say, this is a top three, top five roster that can make some serious damage? They have flashy moments. They're competitive against the Dolphins. We've seen the Suns have a really long stretch of winning games in the regular season. And then when it matters, they don't have that dog in them. That's the best way I can put it. I don't know how else to explain it, but when it matters, I worry about that sparse bench. I worry about there's only so much a Devin Booker can do by himself. It's like, yes, it's flashy and it looks really good and it's fun to watch, but what is the longevity of it? That's the part I don't trust with the Suns. Same thing I don't trust about the Phillies. Okay. So
Jeff and Liv, as we bring in the music, I just want to get to your thoughts and 30 seconds total. Do the Warriors have that dog in them? I think they do. I'm intrigued by the Warriors. I like what they're doing. What do you guys think about the Warriors? They got it?
Once they brought in Chris Paul, they brought in a kennel. It's going to be scary in the fourth quarter to have him and Curry. Good luck, Western Conference.
Agreed. Got to have that dog in you. They got that dog in them. That's the best way I can put it.
Jeff said they brought in the kennel. They brought in the kennel. I love that. When they brought Chris Paul. Sometimes the kennel gets crazy now.
Yeah.
I can see the crazy coming out last night a little bit.
Hey, pet parents. Are you searching for the perfect place for your dog to play? Check out Camp Bow Wow. Our safe and supervised doggy daycare and boarding ensures your pup gets the socialization they crave while giving you peace of mind. With our certified staff and clean and spacious facilities, your dog will have a blast making friends and staying active. Join the Camp Bow Wow Pack today. Your first day is free. Visit us at campbowwow.com. Franchise opportunities available.
Every Stearns & Foster mattress is handcrafted with the finest materials for irresistible comfort every single night. Now, save up to $800 on select adjustable mattress sets only at stearnsandfoster.com. Lesser savings may apply.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Who are the Bills? Fraudulent is the answer. So this video was posted a day before I lost my job. LOL. And as you can imagine, Bills Mafia loved to prey on my downfall when I said something honest about their team. I have receipts. Girl made a video about the Bills being fraudulent and loses her job the next day. Exposed herself as a casual by lying about Josh Allen and got fired the next day. That's crazy, man. Haha, isn't this the girl that trashed the Bills and called them frauds? It is. It is that girl that called them frauds. Truth hurts. So to Bills Mafia members, respectfully, kick rocks. Have the day you deserve. If it makes you feel better to laugh at my unemployment, be my guest. But at the end of the day, she was speaking facts.
Ooh. Okay. All right. Listen.
Sound the alarm. Listen.
First of all, listen. Let's talk about the job first of all.
Yeah.
Anybody who has been involved in the media, whether you're at the top of the media mountain, at the very bottom, you're not in the business yet, you got to know everybody's got some scars on them. If you don't have scars on you from being involved in sports media, just keep living. Those scars will come.
Totally.
You'll be reassigned. You'll be demoted. You'll be fired. All things. It's just a matter of how do you withstand? How do you adjust to these unfortunate things that happen to anybody who's been in sports media? It happens to truly almost everybody's got a story for you. If it didn't happen to them directly, it happened to somebody who was associated with them, over them. So Liv, this is my way of saying, I hope you're not discouraged. I hope you're not thinking, oh, wow, what am I going to do now? Game recognizes game. You got it. And it's going to work out.
Thank
you.
I
hope you know that.
Yeah, no, I needed one day to be emotional. That's how I am, though. I very rarely cry or get emotional. So I needed one day to just like let it out. And then after that, I was like, okay, I'm chilling. I'm ready to go. And obviously love being on BFA with this amazing crew. That obviously helps a lot. So yeah, I needed one day to sulk and feel sorry for myself. And then after that, I was like, all right, so I can either lay around or I can keep cranking out content and roasting Bills Mafia. So let's go with option B.
So what was your point? Like pregame and postgame. Let's just talk about the whole story. Buffalo, I think 7.5 to 8.5 point favorites, depending. It started off 8.5, and then people started to say, hey, wait a minute, that's a lot. And then I think it ended at 7.5. But they were overwhelming favorites. They came into this game against a 1-5 team that was struggling, all kinds of negativity around the team. Is Bill Belichick going to be fired? Is Mac Jones the guy? Like all this commentary about the Patriots, and the Bills go in. Josh Allen's first pass is an interception. They find themselves down 13-3. When the Patriots had 13 points at halftime, it was almost like the Dolphins scoring 70. It was like, whoa, the Patriots, a team that averaged 12 points a game. They averaged 12 points a game coming in, and they exceeded that by halftime. That was a parade down Boylston Street in Boston. So they lose. Buffalo loses to the Patriots. What did you say before the game about Buffalo? They got people so upset.
For the video, the whole video was me basically talking about how the hiccups and the whatever's like the game against the Jags. I saw a lot of people in Bills Mafia talking about jet lag, injured defense. Oh, you know, the refs and this and that. Okay, let's talk about the offense then. Let's talk about what your weapon is. Before we entered the season, we were looking at this roster going, this is going to be one of the best offenses in the league. Okay, so let's talk about the offense then. If you want to make excuses for jet lag and defense being injured, sure. First of all, every team has injuries, so I'm kind of overhearing about it. But we'll talk about the offense. At that point in time, they had averaged 17 points in their last two games, could barely score against the Giants. So, okay, your defense is injured, but what's the excuse for the offense? Oh, well, you know, we're not super worried about the interceptions or the turnovers. Like, it's only week six. And I'm sitting there going, okay, but isn't there a little bit of concern that by week six, these little hiccups and mistakes become your identity? So my video was, what is the Bills' identity? To me, they're fraudulent because when you look at them on paper, this is a top three roster that's embarrassing themselves. I mean, they're playing up to the talent of a Miami offense and then playing down to the talent of the Giants. The Giants should have won that game, period.
Yeah,
I mean, honestly, they had the game. I mean, towards the end, I actually live bet the Giants in that game because I felt like they were really going to take that game. So again, and you even look at some of the matchups that were close, the loss to the Jets led by Zach Wilson. I mean, to me, it's like, yeah, in the beginning, every team's got their little hiccups and whatever. But to me, by week seven, the hiccups are now who you are. And now it's not just, okay, how do we prevent this from becoming our identity? It already is. So now how do you fix it? How do you go backwards? Now you've lost momentum. You're probably starting to lose guys like Diggs mentally, who probably weren't all that checked in to begin with this season. So to me, the video was just simply, what is the identity of the Bills? To me, they're fraudulent. Bills Mafia went ballistic only to lose to the Patriots a week later.
They always do. They always do. I've been there. I've been there. I've gotten in fights with them before. Look, I think with them, like I said earlier, Detroit doesn't really know. Detroit is a little insecure. Detroit's never been there. They've never been to the Super Bowl, so that's a whole different dynamic with Detroit. So when they start barking, it's just like, God, it's been so long. I haven't been outside a long time. Oh my God, yes. Hey, and we have won more than we've lost for a change. So they go a little too far. Now, Buffalo, really, it's the only game in town. I mean, the Sabres stink. So it's the Bills. They don't have hoops. They lost a hoop team back in the day. They don't have baseball. They got minor league baseball. They've been to the Super Bowl four straight years. They lost four straight years. So they got a little attitude about that. And it just like, it's so territorial about anything. You can't really have a robust conversation with them, a fair, thorough conversation, because they're so protective. They're so protective of a little team. So you spoke the truth. They just don't want to hear it. Now, if you said it, hey, if you say I'm from Buffalo, and you got to do all these qualifiers and this whole preface.
Yeah,
whole
it might have been different.
Hey, you know, I'm from here. You know, I represent Orchard Park. I represent Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, whatever. You got to say all this stuff.
Right.
Just to say a basic thing like they've underachieved. Because they have underachieved.
They have.
What's wrong with
they
that?
Have.
You didn't say anything wrong.
It's just the truth.
No.
It's just the truth.
That second half of their schedule, they better get it together. They better win tomorrow night because the second half of their schedule is brutal.
Brutal.
Tough schedule. Wake up now.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, hey, we lost a great one on Tuesday night. Richard Roundtree, 81 years old, died of pancreatic cancer at his home in Los Angeles. And Richard Roundtree has done or did so many things in his career, but he played the iconic role of Harlem Detective John Shaft. Ask Isaac Hayes about Shaft. He's a bad mother. Hush your mouth. Shaft was so significant for the culture. Look at that jacket. Look at that leather jacket.
Ooh, he's got swag. Oh. He's got swag.
Oh, I mean, everything. So, but really, at a time where, as Richard Roundtree said at the time, where black men and black actors and actresses didn't always get the benefit of the doubt, weren't always portrayed in respectful ways, He was a black action hero in the early 1970s, and the significance has lasted to this day.
Love it. Legend.
So, John Shaft. And you know what? My kids got to know him, too. He was a grandfather on Family Reunion, too, with Loretta Devine and Tia Mowry. So he had many roles, but Shaft, rest in power.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.